Hang about. It's our weekly catch-up with the National Party's Denise Lee.
Hey, Denise, how are we going?
Hey, good. Thanks, Laura. And you?
Yeah, pretty good. One of those stressful days, but it's all mellowing out now.
Well, it's a Friday, so that'll offset it, won't it?
Absolutely. We're just jumping straight into the weekend, and everything's going to be fine now.
That's right.
Absolutely. So I'll just jump straight in with you. We're talking about student protests for climate change today. Now, National has been a little bit of an opponent to the protests. Can you explain why?
Oh, look, I don't know if opponent's the word, but there's been advice from the Ministry of Education, and principals have adopted a unified stance around the country that you have to have your parents' permission to attend the strike. So I think that's pretty reasonable. Do parents know about it? Step one, have they given permission? Step two, if so, then that's a school community, a parent community agreement. But when you've got other politicians just encouraging that blanket, so that kids don't need to tell their parents and all of a sudden they're missing school time, class time, then that's where we think, hey, this is a bit problematic. But I'm actually expecting to see students outside my office, Laura, on Friday about 9 o'clock.
Oh, wow.
So the way it's worked, and I deliberately did this because it is a really important, massive issue, and I want the dialogue and I want the discussion. Mm. So I worked with a particular school. I went and visited them last week. I went and saw the two students who are leading their protest or their action on the 15th, and I said to them, and I worked with the principal, hey, what's happening in terms of permission? That they're already working really hard on it, they're doing it the right way, and with full school knowledge, full parent knowledge, they're going to turn up and we're going to have a massive discussion and some photos outside my office. And I really welcome that dialogue. It's a really important topic.
Mm. I guess the kind of commentary that I've heard from National is that it should be done on a day that's not a school day. But do you think it would have made as much news as it has without the school absences?
Look, with any... I don't even want to use the word protest. With any action type day, you've got to be careful about what day you do it on to garner the most publicity. Look, I don't know what the organisers were thinking when they said, look, go for a school day. All I know is that the discussion's important, but so is making sure that you keep on track with your learning. But most of all, having parent permission and full parent knowledge is really king. And that these are students that are still dependents, so it's important.
Mm. And of course, I love hearing more about how you're engaging with this. Do you think we are going to see some positive benefits from this kind of protest or action?
Yeah, look, dialogue and discussion is always really important. When you look at how, put it this way, we always, on climate change and environmental initiatives, need to take the short-term politics out of what's a really serious and long-term issue. So dialogue and discussion is always a good thing. I know that students are really super passionate about it, and no one wants to quash that passion. It's just that you've got to approach things sensibly, and I think, look, I hope that's how it'll turn on Friday. Maybe we'll find out that absolutely everyone got parent permission, absolutely everyone paid attention to what the ministry and what the principals have said for the context, and it could be a really good day.
Mm, brilliant. Apologies. Just going to shift on to the Future of Education public meetings that you had in One Tree Hill. How did they go?
Yeah, really well, really well. So we had 100 people come out on a Monday night. I tell you what, public meetings are not always the most sexy things to turn up to these days. And back in my parents' day, that's still a hall with, 1,000 people easy because it was the show in town. So I was really super proud of those that came out. So we had every single school represented from my electorate, and I partnered up with Simon O'Connor from Tamaki, so we had heaps of their schools. So we had principals parents, the trustee chairs, board of trustee members. Mm. I mean, it was an incredible turnout.
Sorry, you're breaking up a bit there, Denise.
What was that?
You're breaking up a little.
Oh, no, I tell you what, do you know where I'm talking to you from? It's Cambridge Community Centre, and it started to rain.
Oh,
can
no.
Can you hear me?
A little bit. You're starting to clear up a bit.
Should I try that one again on the school's event?
Yeah, let's jump back to that.
Okay, so we had a really good turnout, had heaps of schools represented, and discussions around the idea that's coming out from this task force review, that there'd be plenty hubs for the entire country, and they each service 125 schools each. It is huge seismic shift in our education system, and a lot of people know about this. It's terrible. That meeting, if you turn up to a public meeting like that, right, you're keen, you're really engaged, but a massive amount of that audience did not know what is on the table from this task force. And we just think that this is massive centralisation and concentration of bureaucratic power in one place. Is this really what we need? We're not sure at all.
Mm. And I guess from an Auckland-based perspective, were there any kind of Auckland-centric concerns?
Sure. I mean, let's just take my area as an example. Mm. I've got, several dozen schools in Rustoon. But they would be several dozen of 125 schools in Auckland, all competing for resources and attention and time from one hub. So we haven't been told what the funding is for that hub. We haven't been told how many staff will be at the hub. We haven't been told what kind of staff will be in the hub. Are they going to be property experts? Are they going to be hiring and firing, HR experts, because that's what they'll be doing now, taking that away from the schools and doing the hiring and firing. Who's going to send those up? So if you look at just sheer demographics, absolutely there's a massive issue for Auckland.
Mm. Going to shift on to Michael Collins extending his contract. So obviously a big piece of news. Just a little giggle over there, Denise. Now, Michael Cullen, he's had his contract extended, and he was receiving $1,000 a day. Can you tell us a bit about your thoughts?
Well, come on, this is outrageous. Suppose an independent working group, right? Mm-hmm. And so Labor before the election was looking at capital gains. They got very nervous then about their reaction. They put it on ice and they said, look, we'll create a tax working group. We've had that. They made a big hoo-ha about this independent, very talented lineup. So Michael Cullen's hearing it. They present their report. They're now debating it. It's going horribly wrong for Labor. Horribly wrong. They're on the back foot. And all of a sudden, we get told that they're bringing him back, extended contract, $1,000 a day, and he's making political comments about it. So basically, we feel like he's just attacking the National Party. And is that really what taxpayer dollars should be funding? There was a contract, it was finished, now it's extended, and he's being political. It is serious misuse of public funds.
Mm. I mean, he came out and not him, but Grant Robertson, he came out and kind of turned it around and said, well, it's because of the huge amounts of criticism that this proposal has received that he needed to come out and have his contract extended. Do you think that's fair?
No, because why can't the government explain the proposals themselves? And they've even given themselves 5 weeks to do it. So over the next, we've got 3 weeks now left, roughly, we think, until they give us their final take on what they'll put into legislation or not. Why do they need the independent chair to come back for them, re-extend the contract? It's really unusual to do this. So you might cynically ask, does the Prime Minister and the Minister of Finance wanting to distance themselves from these recommendations? Is that why they've brought him back. They want him to do all the talking because they know it's going so horribly wrong. I mean, boy, is it dominated time, right? It's not favourable. The Prime Minister on the back foot for a couple of weeks now in the debating chamber in Parliament. This is one hot potato, and I don't think it's a potato they want to hold.
Well, yeah, I think they've consistently attempted to make it clear that this is outside of the coalition government, that it's not directly linked. It's just a working group. So why would government be the one to step forward and say, hey, we're going to comment on this?
Oh, simply because Labor has said that they intended to introduce a capital gains tax. So this is, you can't raise a hot potato, it go horribly wrong, and then you back out of not only sort of commenting for a long time, not even recommending whether some of it happens or not, but even saying that it's a discussion that should be had. Of course, Labor's got to front foot this. They can't back out from something that's going tough. The level of reaction is really unparalleled. So they've got to own it. Do they back themselves or not? They raised this a long time ago. So, you know, hey, step up.
Mm. Now I'm going to end on my personal question, as I love to do.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
So as I'm sure you're aware, International Women's Day is today. So what makes you proud to be a woman?
Oh, you know what immediately comes to my mind, Laura, is being a mum. Mm. Has been a mum. I love being having the ability to be in the role that I am, to do some amazing things and to try and do my very best to be a strong local voice for my constituents and to debate policy and all that stuff. It's awesome. But when I think about femaleness and things that will, well, quite frankly, stretch all over my lifetime and into eternity, I think about my girls. So I'm proud of them. I hope that that they have real fun in life and they succeed, and I'll drop everything for them. So I can't go past being a woman. It's just intrinsically who I am.
Oh, beautiful, Denise. Lovely. Well, we'll be looking forward to talking with you next week.
Yeah, thanks, Laura. Thanks so much. Take care. Have a good weekend.
You too. See ya.
See ya. Bye.
The National Party's Denise Lee on 95 BFM.